This is Out and About on Peoria Public Radio. I'm Nathan Irwin.
And I'm Jen Gordon with Arts Partners of Central Illinois. Today we're talking with Eric Otto, Artistic Director for the Peoria Ballet, and Executive Director Wendy Thomason. They're here to share with us more about their upcoming production of The Sleeping Beauty. Eric and Wendy, welcome back to Out and About.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Now, the last time we had a chance to visit, it was back in December, and it was right before the production of The Nutcracker. A lot has happened since then. Eric, let's start with you and tell us a little bit about your transition to Peoria.
Yeah, well, it's been a whirlwind transition for sure. A lot's happened in a short amount of time. We had to, you know, move from Manhattan to Peoria, and we had to find housing here and find a school for my wife and our son, Quinn. He's four, so we had to find schooling for him and, you know, traveling, moving companies, finding subtenants to live in our apartment in New York, and also in the back of my brain trying to think about Sleeping Beauty, this beast of a production.
That's right.
Now, this is the first time that the ballet has performed Sleeping Beauty in its history?
Well, in recent memory, the Peoria Ballet, I'm not sure. I can't give you that fact if they have. They may have years ago, but on recent memory, they have not done it here. My executive director, Wendy, and I, we've gone through some archives to look through, so we haven't, you know, found anything to that effect. But it's a very big, beautiful, exciting production. And we're very excited and proud to share it with the Peoria and a Washington audience.
So, Wendy, I know that you're thrilled that the Peoria Ballet has found Eric Otto as the new artistic director. Talk a little bit about how you two settled on The Sleeping Beauty. This is a very, very large-scale production. Why did you decide to settle on it?
Well, we had planned to do that for a spring production before Eric was hired. And when we were in the process of getting him here and hiring him, we told him that if he felt like it was going to be too much to do, knowing he was going to basically hit the ground here February 1st and the show was already set for this weekend, we could do something else and wait and do it next season. And it's such a great, historic, beautiful ballet. You know, we say in recent history, we don't know that we've done it. Basically, the bottom line is we couldn't find the costumes, couldn't find the props. So we're starting from scratch on everything. And there's over 100 costumes, new sets, everything brand new. So I said, you know, we want to do it right. So do you think that we can really do it? If not, let's pick something else. And he said, no, we can do it. It'll be great. It's going to be a great learning experience for the students. And we already have the volunteer network in place. And we knew we had the right people in the right positions that could create these costumes. And we'd been working on the costumes since early a year ago. So it's been almost a year and a half. We've been working on costumes. So we knew we could do it. And he was really excited about it. He's had a long history doing Sleeping Beauty as a dancer. And so he was really excited to be able to do it. And he said, we're going to do it. And it's going to be a great thing that brings us all back together and kind of sets the vision for, you know, his tenure here. So it's great. And he was right. It looks beautiful. And it's stunning. We had all the costumes on last night at rehearsal, and it was, the lighting was done, and it was amazing to see it all coming together.
Yeah.
So as a production, how does it compare to other ballets with which we might be more familiar? How does it compare to Swan Lake, to The Nutcracker?
Well, it's in comparison, there's a lot of similarities. They're all full-length ballets. They're all very elaborate. They're all very complex in their choreography. They utilize a lot of students, a lot of dancers and students and their abilities. There's lots of roles to spread around. And it's the beautiful classical music by, and most of those ballets, all those ballets you just named are all from Tchaikovsky and Maurice Petipas. So they're very similar in a lot of ways, and they're beautiful. And that's what I've been trying to do here is I wanted to construct and showcase the Sleeping Beauty in the way that should be, in the way that I can best do it to my ability and to best represent the Peoria Ballet. And, you know, the original version is about 4 hours long with three intermissions. Yeah, it's very long. So I've had to cut it down significantly in order to show the audiences here, you know, and keep them engaged. You know, I can't expect people to sit through, 4 hours of Tchaikovsky and Petipas. But I think we've done a really good job here. I think I've done a good job at translating the story and narrowing it down in terms of the time.
And so what informs those choices when you're deciding which pieces of the ballet to cut and when you're deciding when to use the traditional choreography and when to inject your own choreography? What's the process by which you make those calls?
Well, I think the most important thing for me is I need to stick true to the story as much as possible. And I want to tell the story as best that I can. you know, with making cuts. It's been a little hard, but I've been able to do a very good job at it. And yeah, just having to be able to tell the story, you know, and that gives me, having to take certain sections out, it gives me the opportunity to slot in, you know, little things, little bits of choreography that I've been able to do, which has been really great.
And as artistic director, you are in this unique position where you can honor historical choreography that's associated with the performance, but also mash it up with your own and add your own flavor to it, put your own mark on it. Talk a little bit about which elements, which parts of this performance are all Eric Otto versus which parts are Marie Petipa.
Yeah, well, I think I've done a good job. Hopefully I've done a good job at keeping primarily the principal roles, the variations of the fairies, Prince Desiree, Princess Aurora. The technically hard choreography I've kept traditional and Marie's Petipa. Mm-hmm. It's all the other little extra stuff, a lot of the children's stuff I've choreographed, a lot of the little scenes that dovetail into the next. That's all my own vision and choreography. But, you know, the real strong, beautiful, exciting, stimulating dancing is Petipa. I can't take credit for that.
And I think what's great about this production, too, is it's been an amazing learning experience for our students, and it's really pushed them because it is difficult choreography. So they've learned a lot, but it's so audience friendly because when we do something, we want it to be, since we're a school, we obviously want our students to learn from it and take something away from it. But we also want to be something the community can engage with, because that's the other part of our mission, is to engage the community and, you know, promote the arts and to try to develop arts patrons and lifelong, you know, lovers of the arts. And so I think this is something that everyone's going to enjoy. The music's upbeat. It's the costumes are colorful and the sets are beautiful and the story's easy to follow. So in some ways, it's similar to Nutcracker in that way that everyone knows the story. You can follow it. And it's very, I mean, a 3-year-old would enjoy it. Someone 100 years old would enjoy it. So I think it appeals to a wide audience. And people like, I think, seeing something new, but they also like to kind of be familiar with it. Mm-hmm. So this is something I think is accessible to everybody. Mm-hmm. And no matter what your age or you like.
Great. It's great for all ages, seriously. You really don't have to be a ballet lover to come and see, you know, Peoria Ballet put on a beautiful production like this. It's great for everyone, from little kids to seniors, you know. I highly recommend it.
And talk a little bit about this ballet as a vehicle for teaching fundamental techniques and, you know, rudiments of ballet. Why is this a production that speaks to you on that level?
Well, because, like, going back to Petipa again and his choreography, it's a work of art, you know. He was a very famous French ballet master in the late 1800s, collaborated with Tchaikovsky on this. And, you know, his ballets are performed throughout the world by many, many different ballet companies. And, you know, it's giving these kids an opportunity to learn his choreography, but also, like, it's there are no boundaries, you know, with dance. You can really explore. And that's what I want to be able to teach the kids here. You know, it's my background, having many different forms of dance and, you know, having them exposed to Petipa and then, you know, exposing them to some contemporary works or some Martha Graham or Twyla Tharp, you know, is something. But, you know, just, it's challenging for them. Being here and doing this production is challenging. So I think that's also a vehicle to get them to open up their bodies and explore more how to take their dance technique to the next level.
Another thing that I think would be challenging is taking on a piece that the company hasn't performed before. So, for example, when you do the Nutcracker, you have the choreography, you have the costumes, you have the sets, you just have all of that. And when you do a new production, you have to literally construct it all. So can you talk a little bit about the challenges that the organization has faced putting together all of the stuff that you need to put a new production on?
I think a lot of it is this, all of our parents and our other volunteers are so excited to do this production that they've been really jazzed and, like, ready to go. I mean, they've been ready for it. They've been working on it for a long time. And I think seeing it all come together, Eric's great working with the volunteers and kind of saying, well, this is my vision. How can we make it work? The costumes we all make by hand, the sets have all been pretty much made by hand. And he's a great leader in that way. And to kind of bring everyone together. We've had a lot of production meetings for this one, especially,
yeah,
just to make sure to. And to really tap into all the people we have and their different expertise levels. We've recruited a lot of new volunteers in the sewing shop. And so that's been fun, making headpieces. You don't always have to sew, but you can create a headpiece. You can create all these other things that go with the costumes. And so it's been really rewarding. I think it's just we've had to be very organized and really tap into that talent base that's right there in our studio every day, bringing their kids to classes. And of course, we have a lot of volunteers who's they maybe became engaged with ballet at some time when their kids were younger, and they could even be grandparents now, but they're still around. And so it's really gratifying to see these people that had been involved for 20, 30 years and are still contributing and helping with the productions and still want to be a part of it. It's really exciting, especially once we move into the theater and we moved in on Tuesday. It's to see it all come together. But yeah, I think part of it is just this strong volunteer base that we have that's been excited.
There's a lot that goes into a brand new production like this from scratch. Like Wendy was saying, volunteer. Without the volunteers, I couldn't do my job. I couldn't put on a production to best represent, you know, Peoria Ballet the way I'm doing it right now. So I, you know, shout out to them because it's very important. But yeah, everything's from scratch. You know, I came in and I staged everything. I choreographed everything. We had people building costumes, sets. So the operation that's in place right now, I feel very confident about. And in order to put on productions like this now, in the present and in the future, I think it's a win-win.
Well, and I think we also, one piece we haven't talked about that's very critical to this whole thing is Eric's wife, Laura. And she's an amazing artist in her own right. She still performs and still takes some gigs that she can't turn down, but she's an amazing teacher. And she's has a very unique way of interacting with the students on an artistic level to bring out the character. Like, how do you develop this character and how do you portray on stage so the audience understands what this character is about and what is this character feeling? And she's wonderful also with her vision with the costumes and all that too. But together, Eric and Laura are really an amazing team. They balance each other out and things that may be...
She keeps me calm.
She does. She does. But she's an amazing teacher also. And having, you know, 10 years at Atlanta Ballet, she's done so many productions too, but she has a really nice way with the students. And so that's really brought these little touches that are subtle, but make a huge difference in what the production looks like. And it's great for our students to have these two amazing teachers. You learn different things from different teachers.
Yeah, yeah.
And so it's been a great, she's been critical to the whole thing as well. I know we couldn't have done it without
you need, you absolutely need a man's touch, but you absolutely, absolutely need a female touch. And that's why I think we're great together.
We should also probably mention that the Peoria Ballet Academy has a production coming up in the beginning of June. What can you tell us about that show?
The Academy performance, the showcase, our spring showcase, I should say. You know, it's basically a highlight of the year. You know, I'm taking all the kids and our faculty who are going to be choreographing pieces on their students. And I'll be choreographing on the upper levels. My wife will be choreographing on her levels, and our faculty will, you know, concentrating on their levels. But we're going to be portraying, you know, what we've been working on the whole year in a way where it's really enjoyable, it's fun, and the parents can see not just a production and a story ballet, but they can see what have our kids learned here, how have they progressed in a way where it's fun with good music and pretty costumes. It obviously won't be as elaborate as, you know, a Nutcracker or a Sleeping Beauty with full sets and costumes. But it will still be a very, very nice spring showcase.
We've been talking with Eric Otto and Wendy Thomason from the Peoria Ballet. They joined us to talk about their upcoming performances of Sleeping Beauty. Those are tonight at 7 o'clock and tomorrow at 1:30 and 7 at Five Points, Washington. Thank you both for being with us today.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you very much.
This Sunday from 3 to 6 p.m., Project 1612 presents the exhibition Anna Frederick, You Must Remember This. Anna is a Chicago artist currently residing in Peoria who primarily creates artwork using assemblage techniques featuring handwritten texts and a variety of found objects. Project 1612 is an independent artist-run project space. For more information about the event, visit project1612.com.
And the Bradley Community Chorus is in concert this weekend with a program called Favorite Choruses from Choral Masterworks. The program ranges from Handel to Arthur Honegger, with a few choruses from the Mozart Requiem and a few from Mendelssohn's Elijah. That concert is Sunday afternoon at 3 o'clock in the Dingeldine Music Center.
Out and About is a production of Peoria Public Radio and Arts Partners of Central Illinois. Each week, we connect you to the arts community by talking with local arts leaders and performers.
Our producer is Sierra Doss. You can learn more about Peoria Public Radio when you visit our website, peoriapublicradio.org. I'm Nathan Irwin, and this is Out and About.